May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 343. If Jesus is ours, we have a true friend, whose goodness endures the same to the end. Our comforts may vary, our frames may decline. We cannot miscarry, our aid is divine. 343.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, the book of Genesis, chapter 41, and we'll commence reading at verse 9. Genesis chapter 41 and from verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret, and it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up on one stalk full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years. And the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in these 7 plenteous years the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, thou great and holy and merciful Lord God, we seek to bow before thy throne and to worship thee in the fear of the Lord. Do grant unto us that reverence of thy great and holy name, that we might, like with Moses, put off the shoes from off our feet, for the place whereon we stand is holy ground. Lord, if dear Joseph felt, as thou didst draw, dear Jacob felt, as thou didst draw near to him at Bethel, that this is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven, how much more so also where thy people gather together for prayer and praise and to hear thy word. Lord, thou hast said unto him, shall the gathering of the people be, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And Lord, wouldst thou bid us not forsake gathering, and thou forsake to meet with us? God forbid that thou shouldst say one thing to us and do another thyself. O Lord, we do praise and thank thy great and holy name, Lord, for thou art a good and a faithful God, and thou hast said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Lord, as thou didst bid thy disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, we see, Lord, as thou didst pour out thy Spirit then, that these days, these gospel days, days of thy Spirit, that we might know the power of thy Holy Spirit this evening, that thou hast grant unto us to be thy messenger in thy message, and to come where thy people are and speak to their hearts, and cause them to hear thy words and hear thy voice, and to know thy will. Lord, thou hast said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy most gracious sacred words, that thou hast said that the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And, O Lord, we do seek that we might know that salvation from the wrath to come, that we might know a daily salvation from the power and from the dominion of our sin, and that we might be delivered from our fears. We thank thee for the fear nots of thy most holy and sacred word. But Lord, we thank thee also for that which undergirds them, for they are not empty fear nots, but Lord, they are founded upon thy precious promises and upon thy precious shed blood at Calvary. Lord, we do pray with the psalmist, and Lord, especially as we think of the dear friends here and the many that are afflicted amongst them, we pray with the psalmist, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And O Lord, we trust there are those, dear friends, here that don't want to get out of their troubles any other way but by redemption and by thy precious shed blood, be brought out honourably because thou hast died, because thou hast set them free. O Lord, do hear prayer then for them, those who in and of themselves are not deserving of anything from thy hand. Lord, we are not. Oh, we feel our sin, our shame, our guilt, the evil of our hearts. And Lord, especially when times of crisis and trouble and deep fear is upon us, Lord, how our sins stare us in the face oft. Our own worthiness cries unto heaven. How we feel that we are not worthy that thou shouldst do anything for us. Hearken to our prayers. Regard us in anything. Lord, we are not worthy, but thou art worthy. And O Lord, we do seek these blessings for Christ's sake. O Lord, do remember, do look upon the man at thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou hast made strong for thyself. O Lord, thou didst bring Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lord, thou didst say that when thou didst destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, thou didst remember Abraham and brought Lot out of it. And O Lord, do thou this for the dear friends here. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ and deliver them. Lord, we do see that thou hast comfort and help the dear friends. Remember especially Stephen and Lizzie. Remember them and their bereavement and sorrow at this time. Comfort their hearts and do help them. Be with them and those afflicted in perhaps similar ways. O Lord, we pray also that thou wouldst remember Peter Curley and the operation that is before him. That thou wouldst grant him thy gracious help and that thou wouldst grant him thy word to rest upon and to go with, and that thou wouldst be pleased to bring him safely through and make that operation a blessing and a help to him. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst remember each one in affliction. Thou hast been merciful to the dear friends here in times past and hast given them many answers to prayer and deliverances from afflictions and trials and troubles. And Lord, do encourage them in thee still. Lord, how many changes we have, and no doubt they have felt and have too. But Lord, we thank thee that thou art the same, yesterday and today and forever. And oh, let not there be that doubt, that denial of thy precious promises, thy goodwill and favour to thy people because of our unbelief. And leave us not to limit the Holy One of Israel. We feel our great infirmities and poverty, Lord, but oh, we would centre in thy finished work and thank thee for that which thou art. Lord, nothing can change that. Lord, we thank thee for thy covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Lord, that which was David's comfort, all his salvation and all his desire, although his house was not so with God. Lord, there are those of us here, we feel that most painfully, our houses, our own heart, and yea, our families as well, they are not so with God. There's so much wrong. But Lord, cannot we say also that thou hast made that covenant with us? And Lord, every blessing, every token, Lord, is not that a sign, a seal of thy covenant? Doth it not come forth from that blood-sprinkled mercy seat? Lord, hast thou not bid us to come boldly there? And Lord, hast thou not said that thou would meet with us there? And Lord, we do plead that mercy, undeserved mercy through blood, we make our plea. Lord, we thank thee for Calvary. and for thy precious shed blood there, that thou wast made a curse to set thy people free. And Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast said they shall look upon him whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him. Lord, we thank thee for those tokens of thy word. Is there here? We trust that there are, dear Lord, those who have been given faith to look upon thee, those who have mourned over their sins and after thee. O Lord, do continue to fulfill thy precious promise in this way, that sinners might still look, even as Moses did lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Lord, do grant us to believe on thy name. We bring the congregation here before thee. We present them before thee. Lord, bless them in Christ Jesus. Be with them each. Be with them as a church and their deacons. Bless them in their souls and fulfill their petitions. Lord, that thou, who hast given us the most beautiful times of the high priest going into the holiest of all with the names of the children of Israel upon his breast, Lord, may it be so as we offer up prayer for the flock here, that thou remember them, them whom thou hast graven upon the palms of thy hands, them who thou hast said that thou wilt not forget them. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Oh, she may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Lord, thou who art greater than a natural mother, greater than a natural father, if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We do ask for thy Spirit to be granted this evening. Lord, do grant that thy word might be with the due and unction and savour of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto him, ye which believe, he is precious. Do make him precious to us, and perhaps some poor sinner, precious in the want of him, precious in the remembrance of former blessings. We thank thee for the remembrance of it brings to our remembrance what thou hast been to us, and gives us that longing that we might again have a visit from our best beloved. O Lord, do thou have mercy, and do bless thy word then. Our hope and our expectation is from thee. And Lord, do thou enter into the case and the needs of each one here. We thank thee for the children, the young people. Pray thy blessing in their souls. Be with them in their schooling, in their studies. And may they see thy will and desire to see thy will unfold before them in their lives. May they not have the language, what am I going to do and work in my life, but what has the Lord planned for me? What has been appointed for me? O Lord, do grant that there might be those here, young and old, who delight to see and trace thy wise appointments to admire. O Lord, do grant that even those disappointments might be turned about to be seen as thy appointments. O Lord, do thou grant that the ill that thou dost bless, that might be our good. Our good unblessed is ill, and all is right that seems most wrong, if it be his sweet will. We seek to be conformed and submissive unto thy holy will in all things, and that thou hast overcome this evil heart that so often is so opposite, and that thou hast bring us to thy dear feet. O humble us, bring us to that place where thou dost wait to be gracious. Remember any poor soul struggling and labouring with their old nature, cannot get above it, cannot manage it, troubled under it, fearful because of it. O Lord, do thou, who art greater than our heart, come in a moment. Thou hast that gracious ability so to do, to come in a moment and grant the softening warmth of grace. Lord, we ask that as we are the means of grace, that this blessing might come through thy word this evening. We ask this then through the name and the blood, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen.
Hymn 1015. My soul, repeat his praise, whose mercies are so great, whose anger is so slow to rise, so ready to abate. 1015.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter that we read, Genesis chapter 41, and just a part of verse 16. In verse 16 we read of what Joseph said and answered unto Pharaoh. He said, "It is not in me." Pharaoh had said to him, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it, and I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Joseph is one of those beautiful types of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in the Scriptures of Truth. We have several really in the account of Joseph going down into Egypt. Judah as well is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as a surety, as he offered to be surety for Benjamin. I will be surety for him. But Joseph was sent before to preserve life, and he was sent before specifically for his brethren. And he was sent in such a way as mirrored the path of our Lord Jesus Christ in his affliction, and how that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The same as dear Joseph came to his dear brethren and was so mistreated by them, and yet by their mistreatment was the very means of him being brought down into Egypt and raised up to that position to be able to help them. And so when Peter charges upon the Jews that they have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain the Lord Jesus Christ, he points out to them that that was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The Lord overruling that which seemed evil for good, and bringing good out of evil. And how clearly it is seen in the account of Joseph, and the position that he is, and was set forth here. The Scriptures expound and magnify how that he was next unto Pharaoh, the authority that he was given, and the provision that he was to preside over and to give to his dear brethren. And we get in this a beautiful time of our Lord Jesus Christ as the mediator of the new covenant, as the one that distributes and gives to his dear people in their need. Dear Jacob, he says, "I have heard that there is corn in Egypt." Little did he know then of how that came to be there, and what wonderful provision, and how specifically it was a provision for him. And may each one here that lives to feel their need and feel a famine of soul. We read that in the last days there shall be a famine, not of bread and of water, but of hearing of the word of the Lord. And indeed we are in days when it seems that there are very few that hear the word of the Lord with power. But there will always be those that do. And may it be our desire that we might be amongst those that, like Elijah, have a brook, Cherith, that the Lord appoints, and a means and a way that the word is brought to us, and that that word still is a living word. The Lord provided for Jacob and for his sons, and that blessed provision, it magnified Joseph and the position that he had. And so our Lord Jesus Christ also is magnified at the right hand of the throne of the Father. You have other types in the word of God, like it was with Mordecai in the time of Queen Esther and King Ahasuerus. And again, a wonderful provision in the court there and a way of deliverance for the children of Israel. And at the end of that, we have Mordecai so lifted up and acknowledged amongst all his brethren. Again, a beautiful type of the Lord. How do we view our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we view him in these types that are set before us here and are encouraged and strengthened that there is a friend at court, that we have one that is able to do exceeding far abundantly above all that we can ask or think? And may this thought be with us too, that when Joseph's brethren were first coming up to Egypt, they felt their need, but at that time they didn't know who Joseph was. They didn't know how specific the love that he had was to them. There may be those of you here, and you can say, all I feel is my need. All I feel is my need to come unto this throne of grace and to venture into the house of God. And that's all you can say you have at the moment. But you know, that wasn't what Joseph's brethren were left to. He saw to it that they kept coming back, and that at last he revealed himself to them and brought them to be with him, provided for them most intimately everything that they stood in need of. And those of you who already know that you have got a friend at court, a heavenly Father, a providing God, may you be encouraged and strengthened in him still, to trust in him and to look to him in all your need. In our text, Joseph is to be and was to be at this first instance an interpreter unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh had these dreams, and his magicians, they couldn't understand them. Pharaoh couldn't understand them, but the report had reached Pharaoh's ears concerning what Joseph had already done, and so he speaks to Joseph in this way. Joseph, he puts the crown not on his head. He said, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And you might say, well, is Joseph then in that instance still a type of our Lord Jesus Christ? In one sense, he is. In the Gospel according to John, in the fifth chapter, our Lord speaks of the union that he has with his Father. Remember, our Lord is truly God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God. Three persons, one Godhead. And our Lord then speaks, and he speaks of the love and the union that he has with his Father. He says, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. But then he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. And so we have here with Joseph, and he said, it is not in me. He points unto his God. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in his humility, but also demonstrating that oneness between him and his Father, that which he spake was from his Father, and that which he revealed had the stamp of heaven upon it. We read, him hath God the Father sealed. And we think of the specific times that he was sealed at Jordan. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Mount of Transfiguration, again set forth, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And each blessing, each miracle bore witness and testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ had the favour and blessing of the Father in all that he did. The works that I do, they testify of me and of my Father. And here with dear Joseph. Joseph, he puts the crown on God's head. He said, it is not in me. And we think also of the case of Daniel. When Daniel had to interpret the dreams, he also said that it was not in him. It was not inherently in him. He was dependent upon God to open these things up. He was but the messenger. He was but the one that would convey what was God's word to Pharaoh. Well, it is not just concerning the dreams that is upon my spirit this evening. It is in other ways as well that this, what Joseph very clearly felt in his own soul, he had been taught, he knew it, and was able to testify clearly and not ascribe it to himself at all. He said, it is not in me. Well, I want first then to look at the it and what is upon my spirit is concerning that it is not in me. And then secondly, the truth that is stated, it is not in me. How we come by that truth, and not only to understand and truly know in our hearts that it is not in me, but where it is. And then lastly, the fruits of this truth that spring forth out of it. But firstly, the it. Well, in the context here, Joseph was to be the interpreter of the will and the purpose of God. And that is in the first instance that this word applies to. It is not in me. And may we know that, dear friends, that it is not in us to be able to interpret the will and the purpose of the Lord. The Lord, in this case, had given a dream. And yet that dream itself was not enough to know what the Lord was to do. Though the dream had been given twice, yet still it was not known until there was the interpreter. There are many people, and some amongst our churches, and they might be looking for something or looking for some help, and they be given a sign or given a word or something that they hear perhaps in the Lord's house or something that happens in Providence, and they immediately think, that is for this, we know what that is. But how often is it thought, here is the sign, or here is this word, but what does it mean? It might not be the first thought or the first thing that is apparent at all. And it is one of those things that we must know is not in us to be the interpreter of it. If God gives a sign, if he shows these things, he'll also interpret it. And in this we think of the mother of our Lord. She saw that which accompanied the birth of her son. She heard what the shepherds had to say. She saw what was done in the temple and with Simeon and with Anna and heard those things. But we read that she pondered these things in her heart. She kept them there. It was sometimes, it is as it were, a jigsaw puzzle with one piece, two piece, but it needs some more before you can put it together. By and by it then opens up. And we think of the dear disciples with our Lord. They had the benefit of all the Old Testament scriptures. But what was in their mind? Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? That's what they were thinking, that Lord had come and he would redeem Israel. And so the two on the way to Emmaus, what was their thoughts had suddenly been cut to the ground. The Lord had been crucified. And the Lord drew near to them and said, why are you sad as you walk? We trusted that he should have redeemed Israel in their way and in their manner and way. But then the Lord began at Moses in all the scriptures and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? They needed an interpreter, and the Lord was that interpreter. And the same as it was with the eunuch reading the word of God, we have the word of God. We have the will of God that is set forth before us here. But what one of us here is going to say, I'm able to interpret it. I'm able to make it known. The eunuch didn't. He read that portion of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man? Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I? Except some man guide me. And the Lord bless the ministry to that end. May we clearly remember and know this, that the precious saving truths of God and the interpretation unto godliness and what will save your soul and mine is not by study of the word as schoolboys learn their task. You'll never get to heaven that way. It is that God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. We want the Holy Spirit that inspired the word of God to also apply that to our hearts, interpret it and open it up to us. And in this with Joseph, he was to expound to Pharaoh what was God's will, what was his purpose, what was to come to pass. There may be those of you here, and those very questions are in your heart, and they're those things you want the Lord to show you and to unfold to you and to interpret to you. Well, this is in the context here of which dear Joseph had to say, it is not in me to understand and to know the will and the purpose of God, however much signs and tokens and evidences might be. May we not be quick to interpret, but may we ask the Lord to show us what is his will and his purpose. The other ways of looking at this word as it is not in me is that which is a spiritual life. Where the Lord gives spiritual life and maintains that life, that spiritual life is not in our power to begin or to continue it. And that is one thing that is encompassed here, that it is not in the creature, is not in the power of the flesh to raise himself from death unto spiritual life. Our Lord was very clear that he must be born again. There must be a spiritual beginning. There must be that of which only God can create anew and quicken into life. I pass by thee when thou wast in thy blood and bid thee live. And no man is able to keep alive his own soul. And it is this then which is not in ourselves to do. Some teach this and say that it is. You read the word and hear the word and you can respond and you can believe and accept or reject the word of God. But It is one of those things that is for a child of God must know. It is not in me. The name of our dear Saviour and Redeemer is Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And that doesn't just mean as putting away the sins of all of the world upon Calvary, and then everyone has got to avail themselves of that provision if they will only do so. That which the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished is a particular redemption and put away the sins of his people personally, individually, and that he then, as the mediator of that covenant, conveys those blessings to each one. It really is a beautiful illustration of a last will and testament, that which the Lord Jesus accomplished in his life, the robe of righteousness, is willed to his dear people, and it can be given to them freely because he has shed his blood so that it may be given and without debt. Mercy without blood never in God's counsel shall stand. And that is very clear in the account of when Ahab set Ben-Hadad free. There wasn't the shedding of blood, and so he had to pay for it with his own blood. But our Lord says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And without the shedding of blood, the children of Israel could not go forth out of Egypt. So it is one of those things that it is not in me to quicken our own souls, or to keep alive our own souls, or to maintain any aspect of the spiritual life that is within us. And even in a natural way, the apostle says, for in him we live and move and have our being. But then, thirdly as well, it applies to the gifts and graces that God gives his people. Joseph was raised up for a specific time and day and for a specific purpose. And the Lord gave him grace for that. And we think of in the wilderness, when the pattern of the tabernacle was given upon Mount Sinai, then the Lord raised up Bezalel, who was to be qualified and fitted and skilled in all the craftsmanship that was needed to make that tabernacle and those to help him. And I've often looked at that, and perhaps it's something that the younger people here really consider, that where the Lord would have one to do a specific job or a pathway in life that he has appointed, he will give them the skills to do that. He gave them the metalworking skills, the woodworking skills, and the for the sewing and everything to do that tabernacle. Very, very fine and skilled work in gold and carpentry. Don't think that the Lord doesn't condescend to give gifts in those ways. And don't think either that, well, that is all in my understanding and my ability to do. It is not in me. Each one that the Lord fits and prepares for an office, and in the Church of God, those of us who are office bearers and ministers, or whatever place we hold, it is to be known it is not in us. Those gifts, abilities and helps is from the Lord. The Apostle Paul, he says, I laboured more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was given me. And so it is in these aspects that this truth is centred. It is not in me. Secondly, then, it is to be taught this truth. It is not something that is with us by nature. And The promise of God to his dear people is that they shall all be taught of God. Every man that hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And it is, they shall not teach every man his neighbour, saying, Know the Lord, they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest. And this, what Joseph said to Pharaoh, he had learnt. Not from a book, but in painful experience. It is not in me. It is as necessary to learn this word, it is not in me, as it is to learn as to where it is. The many that have not been taught this and then go on thinking that that which they have is in them, they don't look for where it truly is. And so I will especially speak to those here who perhaps are being taught this lesson and this truth. What of the interpretations, taking our first point first? That which perhaps you have looked at and you can't work out why. You can't work out what these things mean at all. You've gone round it and round it and you cannot. What is the Lord teaching you? Is it not this lesson? It is not in me. The Lord not only must give a token, give a word, or give his word, the word of God itself, but he also must interpret it. And he also must apply it. And for a time, it is left that you do not know. Our Lord said, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. I do it, thou dost see me doing it, I'm washing thy feet. But to thee it is a mystery as to what I am doing and why. But there shall come a time that ye shall know. Those appointed times. But for the first is that this must be learnt, so that we can clearly, unwaveringly say with dear Joseph, it is not in me. Now Joseph, you might think if he said this to Pharaoh, Pharaoh would say, well, go back to your dungeon. I brought you up because I wanted to know my dreams, if it's not in you. But Joseph, him it is not in me, God shall give. And Pharaoh knew that Joseph was to be God's messenger, and God would speak through him. And so it is also with the people of God, that when they have learned that it is not in them, that then they are also to be shown that it is in God. And God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. We might look in vain as to see the purpose of what the Lord is doing. And we think of before this time with dear Jacob, how he cried out, all these things are against me. Jacob, they're not, you know. We can look at the end of the matter. We can see what was happening, as it were, from both ends. And this poor Jacob in the middle, and that's how he feels. That's what might be where one of you feel as well. All these things are against me. These things he couldn't interpret. He couldn't work them out, why they were happening. The Lord knew why. Judge nothing before the time. And especially be careful when you think you can judge and that it is in you and you're going to interpret it yourself. You think of the children of Israel when the Gibeonites came, and they came to them making out they came from a far country, and they came with their worn out shoes and their mouldy bread. Oh, this was a simple matter. This did not need to be taken to the Lord to interpret. We do not need to ask the Lord. We have inbuilt wisdom on this matter. They took of their victuals and asked not counsel of the Lord, and they made agreement with them and found out afterwards they'd been deceived. Be wary of the things that seem so clear you don't need to take it to the Lord. It's a good to always remember this of what dear Joseph said. It is not in me, even if it seems to be simple. Oh, but what if you're a prophet of the Lord? You ask Nathan, Nathan, is it in you to interpret upon the things that you see and hear what is the will of God? Or must you not go to the Lord and ask his counsel? Oh, says Nathan, I made a terrible mistake once. I said to David, go, do all that is in thine heart. And the Lord corrected me that night and said, David shall not build a temple but his son. How humbling that must have been for a dear prophet. A lesson that each of us we so need on this. It is not in me to be the interpreter and to be the one who decides what the will of God is, except the Lord, as it were, a separate blessing, unfolds it and opens it out. You might say, how do we truly then know it is the will of God? How do we know? The scripture gives us several, as it were, tests. One is this, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Another is this, try the spirits, whether they be of God or no. Another is, as we've already quoted, judge nothing before the time, to wait on the Lord, as Mary did. It might be, as it were, a laying up time. If you've got to force the matter, if you've got to convince yourself, if you've got to reason it through as the two on the way to Emmaus, you can be sure that has not been revealed to you from heaven. When the Lord reveals things and when he blesses a soul, that blessing supports the soul. That soul will not have to support the blessing. There's a very big difference in that. When the Lord visits his people and shows them, then that will be their strength and their support. Be clear. And there will be those of you here that have already known the voice of the Lord. You already know his handiwork. The Lord says, my sheep, they know my voice, they hear my voice, they follow me. And I believe very early on in our pathway, the Lord does make known that secret. And when he speaks again, and when we know the softening warmth of grace and the effects of him coming to our soul, we recognize our best beloved. And it's a good thing if that secret is locked in each of our hearts here. If the secret of the Lord, which is with them that fear him, is with us, and to truly know then when it is the Lord. You know, when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and praying for the rain, go again seven times, and there was nothing, nothing, nothing. But then at last there was, arising out of the sea, a cloud like a man's hand. You know, Elijah recognized that. It was the first breaking. It was a sign his prayer was answered. He didn't hesitate at that, that the rain stopped thee not. And it's a good thing if we also have this, that we know the voice of the Lord. And when we do not hear it, and when we do not recognize it as the voice of a stranger, then we do not heed that interpretation and what is set before us. And may we be wary of the flesh. Oh, our own flesh, it likes to interpret things according to what it wants, and to fashion and twist the word according to what it wants. And it is, your time is always ready, but my time is not yet. Tarry. It is not in me. But then, concerning, to be taught concerning in this spiritual life. It may be those of you here that are very much aware that you must be quickened into life. You've heard it, you've been brought up under the sound of the truth to it, and you know that you need a new heart. And it may try you, you come in and out of the house of God, and you know there has not been a change. And as time goes on, you feel and you know and are brought painfully to feel the truth of this, it is not in me. But then also in every matter of a soul, you think of all of the graces of the soul, we have a hard heart, to give us a softened heart, we have not power to have repentance, to really have godly sorrow for sin. We have not power to be able to pray and to have a spirit of prayer and supplication. We have not power to have a meek and a quiet and lowly spirit. We have not power at all to be able to bear in tribulation and afflictions in submission and meekness. We have not power to feed upon Christ and to seek the things of God. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. None knoweth the Son but the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. And the Spirit shall receive of mine and show it unto you. And for each of the graces and the blessings that come from God, this is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom God has sent. A believing heart, all of these graces and spirit of the Spirit, the Lord will, as revealing and bestowing those, also do the opposite teaching, to teach the words of this text. It is not in me. And so if the Lord is to teach you that your softened and tender teachable spirit is not in you, he'll bring you to come in and out of this chapel sometimes with such a hard heart, and you can't learn and you won't learn and you won't be taught, and you'll feel that hard heart and possibly feel and wonder whether you're one of the Lord's people at all. But what the Lord is teaching, it is not in you. Sometimes it is the Lord will bring such teaching as this in answer to a prayer, that the Lord will show whether the work is his work or a natural work. It's one of the things that often tries a child of God. Is my religion of the Holy Ghost, or is it just my own work? Is it natural? Is it my own heart? Or is it from heaven? And the way the Lord answers is to take away that which is from heaven, his Spirit, his grace, and leave you to your own heart for a good period of time. And then when you know what a hard heart is, and a prayerless state and condition, and every lust and every evil rise up, and feel your poverty and weakness, and you might be saying, there I was right. My religion is nothing, is only the flesh, is not from heaven, and it's all fizzled out, it's all finished. No, dear friend. What the Lord has shown you is what you are with your natural religion. That is what you are without His Spirit. And when the Lord has given you His Spirit, so different. Oh, the softening warmth of grace. It comes in a moment and goes in a moment. It's a sacred thing to feel it. There's a blessed thing to feel it. Sometimes you know it's a precious thing to come into the house of God or the meeting or a church meeting, whatever, perhaps when one is praying. And as they're praying, you feel such a softening on your spirit just for a few moments. And that dew and sweet savour. And then it goes. But it leaves with it, the Lord is here. Whatever is done in this meeting, whatever is done in the house of God at this time, the Lord is here. And to feel that sacred presence of the Lord. And it's blessing to have this and to be persuaded of this, say it is not in me. But then also the graces that the Lord may give, the abilities that He gives. Sometimes it may be that those who are renowned for skill and understanding or abilities in a particular way are left to make woeful mistakes or walk in a path of which seems so out of character they don't have that ability at all. And what does it prove? It is not in me. And it is needful for everyone that is in any position of usefulness to realize that. You know, Moses, there was a time he wanted to go. He thought that he could interpret the will of God. And he started to judge amongst his brethren. Oh no, Moses, you've got another 40 years in the wilderness yet to learn. What you've learned in Pharaoh's household is not sufficient to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness. And so he must go into the wilderness. But then when he is to be sent, all the objections that he has. It's as if Moses said to the Lord, "It's not in me, it's not in me. I can't lead them. I can't speak." No, says the Lord, it is not in you. I will be with thy mouth. Who hath made man's mouth? All that thine infirmities, all thine objections. But Moses, in a way, he was looking, he wanted it in himself. The Lord said, no, it's to be in me. And so then Aaron was given to Moses. But the point is, Moses was brought to painfully feel, it is not in me. Later on, what Moses was used by God, again, a beautiful type of Christ, but wonderfully as a leader of God's people to bring them out and through that wilderness and into the wilderness. And yet what do we read? That Moses was a man meek above any man. And I believe he learned this lesson. Because when the Lord said to at one time, the people that thou hast brought out of Egypt, he very quickly reproved and corrected the Lord. Thou hast brought them out. Not me. Thou hast brought them out. And each one, especially those of us in the ministry, must know that. It is not in me. It is by the power and the Spirit of the Lord. How quickly did Peter and the apostles, when they wrought miracles through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when it was to be ascribed to them, they said, it's not in me, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this man stands before you whole. And the crown must always be placed on the head of the Lord. And if there is the Lord preparing one of you here, for office or usefulness in the church of God, you will learn this lesson painfully, perhaps over years. It is not in me. You'll feel it and know it. But don't use that as an objection like Moses did, that you will not be used. Church of God needs those not self-sufficient in themselves, but those dependent upon the Lord. And so in the last place, those blessings that flow forth, the fruits that come forth from truly having this in the heart, truly knowing it is not in me, but it is in the Lord. It flows from the Lord Jesus Christ and his provision and his grace. The first is this, that it will give, it will be used to humble the soul. Pride is one of the worst sins. It's a sin that clings so hard and fast to us. And I sometimes look at some of the dear Lord's servants who've been so blessed and made a blessing in our denomination. You know, I think of Mr. Ramsbottom and dear Gerald Bass as well, greatly used. And yet the Lord has been able to keep them humble. And I think if I was in that position, I think I would fall miserably. I think my heart would uplift and it would spoil it all. And you know the Lord knows how and what they must go through to be as a ballast and to keep them, to be clearly persuaded that this, it is not in me. Because as soon as one begins to think it is in me, the usefulness gone. Because only through the Lord that there will be that blessing. And so the fruit of the truly knowing this will be humility, and it will extend in everything. Those points that we mentioned. But then also it will be to clearly see the Lord's work. And we did already mention this, but may we truly see it as a fruit of this teaching, to see what is the Lord's work and what is our own. And may we see it as a fruit perhaps as needful for one here at this time, to clearly see what is the Lord's and what is from ourselves. If the Lord has painfully shown you what is in yourself, then may it so more glorify his precious work. Remember the promises that are bound up with this. He will have regard unto the work of his own hands. He will not forsake the work of his own hands. It is the work of the Lord in the heart, in us and for us, that is our evidence and true title of heaven. And that then is to be highlighted by this truth being taught in the soul. But then also there is that encouragement. Encouragement to those who would venture for church membership or office bearing, that they are to know that this truth stands. It is not in me. How often the adversary can use all manner of things to hold back the Lord's people from following him. In whatever the Lord would have them to do, he mentioned Moses, but sometimes he can say, if you make a profession, how are you going to keep alive your soul? How are you going to maintain it? When people watching you and looking at you, as if the devil would say, you look in yourself, how are you going to keep that alive? How are you going to maintain it? How are you going to not fall? You tell the devil, it is not in you. It is in the Lord. And the other thing he says, don't tell anyone about the blessings that you've had or about that which the Lord has done in you, because that's not humble. And you don't want to lift up yourself and you don't want to magnify yourself before others and in the church of God, but you're not lifting up yourself because it's not in me. And you tell the people and you tell the devil, it's not in me. I'm speaking of the Lord's work. I'm speaking of what he accomplished at Calvary, what he suffered for me, and the great mercy and blessing what he has revealed to me and shown me my own wicked heart and evil heart, and that glory is the Lord's of salvation. And so this truth taught in the heart should actually encourage one to venture or go in his strength. I'll go in his might, not my own, but in the Lord's, in the strength of the Lord. Dear Elijah, when he was brought to nothing, as it were, when Jezebel sought his life, he requested that he might die, the Lord came, sent his angel and strengthened him, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord is able to strengthen you, dear friend, give you that help, give you his blessing. But then also there is that, when this is felt, to bring a real dependence upon the Lord. The more we know this, it is not in me, will make us to walk tenderly and carefully before the Lord, prayerfully. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And it will make us very tender in that. What a blessing if we are brought a dependent people upon the Lord. And that is how we walk. In the Song of Solomon, it pictures the bride, and is coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. And if we come up out of the wilderness, if that's how we leave this world, leaning upon the Lord, may it be that we walk through it, leaning upon the Lord too. He's not in me, but in him, a dependent people. But then it will also bring us this, to ask of the Lord. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then in Ezekiel we read, I will for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Why? Because it is not in me. We have no might nor power against this army, says Jehoshaphat, but our eyes are upon thee. And this truth then, perhaps what someone here has felt painfully and thought it was against you and perhaps despised it as not a good lesson and not a good thing to be taught, certainly a painful thing to be taught, you see the blessings and the need for it and how it does actually glorify God. It brings us into the dust, and it exalts the Lord. Bless the Lord for that sign of the covenant that he has said, that thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Even if you have to say with the man that had been blind, one thing I know, is this one thing you know, is not in me, but it is in the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to his honour and glory. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Riddell is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pont next Tuesday evening. And the young people's meeting at Fen Stanton, which was arranged for Friday evening, has now been postponed. Let us close with hymn 120. With joy we meditate the grace of our High Priest above. His heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love. 120.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.